Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
We open up our time together in the Word. I'm going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 9 and Luke chapter 2. Last week I talked to you about the echoes of Christmas. Do you remember that? Remember we talked about the echoes of Christmas, and these are two passages I feel like are echoes of one another this morning as we celebrate Christmas together this year. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And in Luke chapter 2, as part of the Christmas Nativity story that we're celebrating today, in verse 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, to you a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Echoes of Christmas this morning. I have a tendency to go overboard at Christmas time. I don't know about you, but I just have consistently had this tendency in my life to go overboard at Christmas time. Sometimes I go overboard with the feast, right? I go overboard with the Christmas feast. Does anybody else have this problem? During the holidays, you tend to go overboard with feasting or gifting or whatnot. Christmas is my favorite holiday. When the boys were young, I wanted to give them the best Christmas possible. I always wanted to give them the best Christmas possible, but I did not have endless resources. I did not have all the money that I would love to have had to give them the best Christmas possible. So bargain shopping for Christmas was a must. Always looking for the bargains. And this was kind of before Black Friday was a thing. Because Black Friday is like the last 30 years. But this is back in the late 80s, early 90s when maybe Black Friday was just catching on. Cyber Monday didn't even exist back then. Because guess what? The internet didn't exist back in those days. It's kind of before all those things, but I was still after bargain prices. I was still after the Best Buys, and baby, I was after blue light specials. I was following that blue light special truck all the way through Kmart, everywhere it weren't. And these days, as a society, I think we pride ourselves in getting the most cost-effective bargain basement Christmas gifts that we can possibly find for our loved ones. We pride ourselves in our thrifty purchases for the holidays. And I think that's a little odd that we're often most proud of the cheapest gifts we buy for one another. We're into bargain shopping and Black Friday to have the best Christmas possible, but we want it at the lowest price. We want to get it as cheap as possible. The goal is to go overboard without going overboard on your budget. The game that many of us wind up playing is this game of going overboard, but don't go overboard with your pocketbook. We do all this for gifts that don't last. They often break easily. I was not the only child on Christmas morning to get the gift that I so prized and break it in half right there under the Christmas tree. We do all this for gifts that are quickly consumed. They're gone before you know it. We do all of this for gifts that are mostly forgotten by the time the credit card bill comes due in January. I don't even remember what I got for Christmas. Isn't it somewhat ironic that we celebrate Christmas this way? Over the past couple of weeks, I hope you've noticed a little bit of a theme that your pastor's been bringing at you during Advent this year, and it's to bring us back to the true meaning of Christmas. I think we often forget the true meaning behind Christmas because we get into the rut of celebrating Christmas without our eyeglasses on. We get into a rut because we don't have our eyeglasses on. The older I get, the worse my eyes become. I need reading glasses more frequently now than I ever have in my life. I play, as Bing Crosby says in White Christmas, I'm playing the trombone, trying to read those Christmas cards that people send to me. Because I got to stretch it out here for my eyes to focus in on it. I driving in the dark, the older you get, becomes more and more of an adventure. Amen? Some days I'm in such a hurry, I forget to put my contact lenses in. Most of you don't know it, but I wear contact lenses all day long, every day. I've worn contact lenses since I was 16 years old. And some days I'm in such a hurry, I forget to put them in. But I pretty quickly every day realize my problem as I'm moving about. Sometimes I even realize it as I step into the car, Cheryl, because I realize I'm not safe to drive. So I got to run back in the house real quick, put my contacts in. Without my contact lenses or my glasses, the way I see the world is warped. It's fuzzy, it's blurred. Reality out there is the same. It is what it is. I just can't see it for what it is. It's fuzzy. Sometimes I think we celebrate Christmas. We get up on Christmas morning and we celebrate, but we forget to put our spiritual glasses on. Amen. We settle for a fuzzy, blurry version of what Christmas really is. We tend to forget that for God so loved each and every one of us that in the Christ child, he gives us the most expensive gift, the most precious present, the most costly gift we could ever receive. And we forget that this gift that is given, that's behind the meaning of Christmas, is a gift that doesn't break. It doesn't break. It will last for all eternity. It will not be quickly consumed like some of these other gifts that we received. As a matter of fact, the gift of Christmas will never run out. Amen. It's a fountain that never runs dry. The river will always flow, the river of Christmas. It is a gift that will never be forgotten. As a matter of fact, it is a gift that will carry us into eternity. Scriptures tell us it will never be forgotten. You know how we can know that? For every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Maplewood, we need to be mindful as we celebrate Christmas this year to remember to see it for what it is, what it really is, to see it clearly and to not settle for some fuzzy, warped imitation of what God intends for us. Even though we get jazzed up about the best Black Friday deals, we need to clearly see that our salvation for you and me was not something that God purchased on sale. You know, we love to go to the clearance rack, but our salvation was not purchased off of the clearance rack by God. Amen. For God so loves us that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. I don't know about you, I'm not an expert on these things, but when something is on the shelf at the store or on Amazon or eBay, and it has the phrase one and only next to it, the price tends to go up. Rare, one and only types of gifts are really, really expensive. They're of the highest value. They're of the highest cost. The coming of the Christ child was not a blue light special for all humanity. It's true, he came once for all, and that seems like a bargain, right? One man for all of humanity, that's a bargain. But to the Father in heaven, it was the most costly, most highly valued gift given to us out of love. The gift of Christmas may seem like a bargain, but we must be reminded as we celebrate Christmas, that grace is not cheap. Grace is not blue light special. As a matter of fact, in the economy of heaven, which is exactly the opposite of the economy of this world, when we see things clearly, not fuzzy, we realize that the gift of Christmas is the one gift we must pay for to receive. Some like to pretend, I've actually seen a lot of preaching on this, that, oh, it's free. As a matter of fact, we've had Christmas programs. It's a free gift. It is a gift given freely by God to us. It is freely given, and it's available to all in abundance. But friends, it's not free. Amen. It's not a free gift. I'll explain a little bit here. We've made gift giving all about receiving cool things at no cost to the receiver. That's the best part of Christmas, right? We receive something, we unwrap it, we unbox it, we love it, didn't have to pay for it at all. That's how we define Christmas. But in reality, Christmas is just the opposite. Christmas is just the opposite. Until we realize the gift of grace is not cheap, we're not really able to receive it. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who's up on the screen here, he is a man who was a pastor, a priest in Nazi Germany back in the 1930s. And he had the opportunity, as many people did who were oppressed by the Nazi regime back then, to come to America and to escape oppression and to escape certain death. And this man of God, who felt so called to shepherd his people and who was so concerned for the spiritual welfare of his country, went back to Germany. And ultimately, he wound up in a concentration camp. And ultimately, he died serving his Lord to minister to his countrymen who he loved so much. He had a taste of freedom, but he gave it up to follow God's calling in his life. And he wrote many great books, and one of his famous phrases is that cheap grace is the mortal enemy of the church. When we view Christmas without our eyeglasses, without our spiritual eyeglasses, when it's fuzzy, we can't realize that grace is not cheap. Cheap grace is the mortal enemy of the church. Dietrich Bonhoeffer understood that when the church could only see a fuzzy version of grace, that it would actually be our undoing. Not only as a body, but as a country, the fabric of our society would unravel. Cheap grace looks good, but it's useless. Cheap grace smells great, but it's never enough to save us. Cheap grace, it feels good, because it really doesn't cost us anything. Bonhoeffer understood that real grace will cost us everything. Real grace, the grace of God, the grace that is given through the Christ child, will cost us everything. The Christmas story is not about Black Friday. The Christmas story is not about bargain basement prices. As a matter of fact, it's exactly the flip side of the coin. The costly grace of Christmas requires very much of those of us who would receive it. And I want to remind us of this as we celebrate Christmas, as we celebrate this holy day, as we hallow this holy day this year. I want to remind us that it requires very much of us. First of all, costly grace requires us to make a decision. We have to decide. Will you pick up your cross and follow Jesus where he leads you no matter what? Or will we decide to reject his costly gift of grace, go it on our own, settle for the things of this world that don't last, that wear out, that break, that do not fulfill? Second, costly grace, real grace, requires repentance. Real grace requires repentance from the receiver of this gift. In order to take hold of the true gift of Christmas, we must be willing to turn away from our selfish ways of living and do a 180 and begin living a life of love, the life that Christ would have us live. Repentance, I think in our minds we get confused and we think that repentance means to just say I'm sorry for what I did in the past. I get a do-over. That's only half of repentance. Repentance is sorry for what we did, but it's then turning around and never doing that again. That's true repentance. If we find ourselves living in a cycle of selfishness or sins that beset us, they beset us because they do not allow us to embrace the gift. They prevent us from being able to embrace the gift because we have not fully repented in order to receive this costly grace. Every disciple of Christ is going to be confronted with the invitation that Jesus offers me. Come, follow me, and it's always in the opposite direction we were heading. It's always that way. And that'll cost you something. That'll cost you something. Third thing, costly grace. Real grace requires the receiver to commit to a life of discipleship under the tutelage of Jesus Christ. Did you know that what Jesus wants most to give to each of us for Christmas is an education? What Jesus wants to give to each and every one of us the most is an education. He wants to take us to school. Jesus wants to teach us a new way to live that is exactly counter to the way we're wired. We're wired to live selfishly. We're wired to pursue our own selfish desires and agendas. Jesus wants to teach us how to live a different way. Jesus wants to teach us how to love other people first and put ourselves last. He wants to remake us from the inside out. And this requires a commitment from each of us, if we're going to follow Jesus, to become a lifelong disciple of him. When we receive costly grace, our eyes are open to the reality that we have so much to learn. I don't know about you, but I'm 54 years old, and every day I wake up and I just feel like I've got this little bit of understanding of what Jesus is all about. And I'm really thankful that we have eternity, because it's going to take eternity for this mind and this soul to figure out how to comprehend all of it. When we receive costly grace, we start to understand how much we have to learn. It humbles us. But we also realize that we have access to all the answers. You know, it's always nice to take an open book test. The Lord gives us his scriptures. The Lord gives us his word. The Lord gives us one another. We don't have to figure this out by ourselves. We follow Jesus together, and he disciples us as a faith family. Finally, this morning, costly grace, it requires faith. Duh. It requires faith, not just a moment of belief, not just a moment at an altar, okay? Costly grace requires the receiver to have faith lived out every day in the midst of a sinful world. When we decide to accept the gift of grace God is offering to us through the Christ child, we're deciding to make a decision of faith every day for the rest of our lives, no matter what. Sometimes we make that decision to follow Jesus every morning when we get up. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to make that decision every hour. And some days are tough, and it seems like every few minutes I'm having to decide to follow Jesus in faith. We have to live like we mean it. Our faith should show up in the way we live. We should show up as people of faith. And I think it's really natural to react to this message this morning and say, "Wow, Pastor, for Christmas, that message is overboard. That is over the top. It's too much. What you're talking about, it sounds too costly." But folks, that's the true nature of Christmas. It's not about the bargains. It's not about Black Friday. It's about humbling ourselves and reminding ourselves that for unto us a child is born. Unto us a Savior is given. It's for you. Hear me this morning. It's for you and you and you. It's for everybody. I read in my devotions this week that most people are content to remain conventional Christians. complacent. Yes, that's a good way of complacent, conventional Christians. And as I read my devotional here, I just wrote it out here in my notes. Conventional Christians, see if you identify, okay? Conventional Christians secretly assure themselves that if they attend to the prescribed externals, go regularly to church, and don't go off the deep end, they are pleasing God. Although, in fact, they are pleasing themselves. The devotional writer goes on to say, nonetheless, we all are called to go off the deep end by abandoning ourselves to the Lord's care and to risk everything by letting go of everything. The conventional view of Christianity is do just enough to get by. I'll show up, warm my seat on Sunday morning, baby. I might have a good week and actually show up to Sunday school or Bible study. Boy, and if I'm feeling really holy, I might drop something in the box on my way out. I'm not talking about my bubble gum wrappers. Do just enough. But don't go off the deep end because the world will think you're crazy. The wisdom of heaven's foolishness to the world. Don't go off the deep end. People think you went overboard. They'll think you're nuts. But that's the one thing we get right about celebrating Christmas. We go overboard. I love to go overboard for Christmas. But we do it for all the wrong reasons. My prayer is that this Christmas, we all go overboard. That we all answer the call to go off the deep end for Jesus. Are you willing to go off the deep end for Jesus? Because I'm telling you, folks, for Maplewood to transition into its next chapter and to live into our mission and God's vision for our church, we're all going to have to go overboard. The world may think we've gone off the deep end. We may be forced to make choices that the world would call insane. Crazy. Crazy for Jesus. My prayer is that when we hear, unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, that we go all in. All in to receive this gift. When we give our whole self to receive the Christ child, it may look like we've gone off the deep end. They're off their rocker. A decision for Jesus. A life of repentance. A commitment to discipleship under the tutelage of Christ. A life of faith lived out daily until the return of our Lord. The greatest gift you and I could give to God this Christmas is to make the decision to go overboard. The greatest gift you could give to God is the decision to go off the deep end for Jesus and celebrate the holiday the way it was intended to be celebrated. If we want to wish Jesus a happy birthday, we'll not only sing to him the song like we do here at the end of the service as part of our tradition, we'll come to him in that song as we sing it, and we'll commit in our hearts to go overboard. Living for him, living in him, and allowing him to live through us in the days ahead. Are you willing to celebrate Christmas the way it was really intended? Pastor, that message is overboard. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, unless you give up everything you have and follow me, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. It will cost you what seems in the world's definition, everything. But friends, the exchange is so blessed because when we give our everything for Christ, we get everything we've really truly desired in our entire lives. That's the beautiful secret. That's the beautiful mystery. I've got a secret. When we go overboard for Jesus, he goes overboard in our lives. Amen. And we'll do things that we could never have imagined possible. The greatest gift you can give to Jesus this holiday is yourself. Would you stand and pray with me as Pastor Vicki comes? We're going to get ready to close the service this morning. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and as we celebrate this Christmas holiday, as we close this service out, Lord, as we sing the words to this song, my prayer, Lord, is that we would recommit our hearts and our souls to go all out for Jesus in 2024, to go overboard. Lord, you may be calling some of us to do some things that are uncomfortable, that may cost us something. But Father, we pray that you'd help us. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to trust you as we go overboard for you. And Father, we pray that you'd bless us with your power and your presence in the days ahead. Lord, we love you this Christmas. We praise you. We worship you. Happy birthday, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.